goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence again today. Thank you because you have prepared your word, you have set us free in our love, in our marriages, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that let no one return the same way. Let only your words come today and let everyone be transformed in Jesus' name. Let this be the foundation of good marriages for everyone who will be joining us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains how to find and keep your true love, part 2. Last week, we learned a lot of things. Perhaps we were in a hurry, but we were able to learn a lot of things last week. Last week, we understood that having the wrong person in a marital relationship, in marriage, could affect the fulfillment of the destiny of the person. In fact, the person may not be able to fulfill the destiny if he is on the same plane, in quotes, with the wrong person. Because the person is trying to go this way, and you are also trying to go the other way. So there could be drawbacks, slowdowns, unnecessary challenges. For example, the example of Jonah that we saw last week. Then we understood that for you to marry right, you must have the vision. There is a vision. There is a purpose for each person's marriage. Understand that God has a purpose. The same way he has a purpose for your life, it's the same way he has a purpose for your marriage. So God has an expectation. Then he also wants godly seed, that's good children, godly children, to come out of that relationship. Then he wants to use somebody for kingdom expansion. When people see your life, when people see how you're living your life, they should be able to see Christ in you. They should be able to say, okay, if this is how people live and live holy and live right and behave right and are kind to people, then I want to follow them to serve God. So your marriage should lead to the expansion of the kingdom of God. And people should be able to see your marriage and say, yes, I think this is what God is talking about, how Christ relates with the church. Then we understood that there's a spiritual place that you can't marry out of the kingdom of God. Then there's a search that both the man and the woman will be engaged in. Then there's a person. You are getting married to a person. In fact, the love you are talking about is the person. You are looking for a person, not just love in quote, not emotional feelings. You want to marry a person, and it is the opposite sex according to the word of God. So that needs to be cleared, and we need to understand that. Then there is progress, that once you get married right, you will have progress. One of the ways for measuring your good marriage is progress, that you're going to have progress. You're going to begin to see good progress in every area of your life by reason of your marriage. Then there is divine guidance, that God does not just leave you alone to make this decision alone. He guides you. He shows you the way out. He tells you, no, that is the wrong person. And he can tell you, yes, this is the right person. So God gives divine guidance. He guides you, he leads you, and he begins to show you what to do. Then you must understand that there is an active action to find, that you can't just be docile and expect to find. The Bible says, he who finds a wife. That means there's an active search. You only find what you've been looking for. So there is an active search, which we must understand. The man searches, the woman also searches. And today, we will continue also in that light and read some scriptures. Proverbs 18:22. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. We can also say, he who is found as a wife is a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Then Luke 15:8-10, it says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Even though this scripture is written concerning the salvation of people, but we can also relate it to a marriage, that there is a spiritual quest. What does a quest mean? You are searching because you know there is something to be found. The Bible says, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. God is the one who gives a good wife. God is the one who lets you be found as a good wife. God is the one who gives a good husband too. Because both of you are children of God. If the woman is to be found, the man is also to be found. So, this is a spiritual quest. The spiritual aspect is even more important than the mental and the emotional or the intellectual search. The actual physical search is a lot of work, needs to be done. But the spiritual quest is more important because through the spirit you can say to a lot of things. You can chase away the wrong people from you. You can attract the right people. I've seen many people that married late because the devil just covered them. At first they would think, okay, I'm still young and all that. They're okay, the men are not coming and all that. But until they begin to get into their 30s and late 30s, they are wondering, both men and women, it affects both of us. That if you don't break that curse, if you don't break that spiritual work of the devil, the person may just end up marrying unusually late, unnecessarily late, which shouldn't be in the first place. But you can settle it in the spirit. I remember myself, I wanted to get married probably 5 years before I got married. And I was wondering, why am I getting late? What's happening? Until I went to Shiloh sometimes. I think I just went to that program. I think it's Breaking Generational Curse. I went there. I said, no, I'm not going to marry late. Most people in my family marry late. I said, I'm not going to marry late as a man. So I went there and I knew that I settled it that day. And it wasn't long after that I found the right person. So the issue of you not finding the right person could just be purely spiritual. No, there are so many sisters around you already. There are so many brothers around you already. So why are you not finding the right person? And why are you not being found as the right person? It could just be a spiritual covering over the person's life. So if you set you spiritually, then other things can begin to fall into place. Even for a man, you can just see that all the women you are seeing around you are wrong people. Because the devil is just trying to bring the wrong people around you. Somebody's ministry, somebody's life, somebody's business could just crash because of marrying the wrong person, like we explained earlier. So, a prudent wife is from the Lord. A good husband is from the Lord. We already settled that there's a spiritual quest. Then number two, there is a market. Permit me to use the word market. Meaning that there's a place for you to be found and there's a place for you to find. I'm going to dwell on this a little more. In Genesis 24, 12 to 14 that we were talking about, do you know what the man did? The man that was sent to find a wife for Isaac, he went to the well. He knew that women always come to fetch water at a particular time of the day at the well. So if you are living those olden days, the best way for you to find a woman would be to go to the well. So in these days, where do you find? There are many places you can find a wife, but you want to understand that number one, I will say, that a wedding. In a wedding, wedding is a very good place to find a wife. Wedding is a very good place. I found my wife in a wedding. Do you know what happens in a wedding? Let me explain it. If you are a child of God, what is going to happen to you? You're going to have children of God as friends. As a child of God, your friends will be children of God. So if a child of God who is your friend is getting married, or a friend of your friend who is also going to be a child of God is getting married, if you go to that wedding, who do you think you're going to find in that wedding? You're going to find a lot of the children of God in that wedding because a child of God will attract a lot of children of God. So if you go to weddings, you will likely be found faster and you are likely going to find faster in weddings. Because in wedding, there are so many people, there will be so many ladies, there will be so many men. So if you want to be found, attend weddings. If you want to find, attend weddings. You're going to see a lot of people in weddings. Guess what happened to me? I went to a wedding because my friend was getting married. That my friend is a child of God. When I got to the wedding, then my other friends there, who are also children of God, were around. My wife knew many of them, like two or three of them before. So they were together, they were talking, and my wife also came with a friend. They were all talking and gisting and laughing and all that. That's how I saw her. Because she was in the proximity of those who are my friends. So, number one, know that there's a market. There's a place where you can easily find and be found. Go to weddings. I'm being practical with you now. Attend weddings as somebody who wants to be married. Then that's the physical aspect of it. The spiritual aspect is that when you rejoice with people who are prospering, who are doing good, what is going to happen to you? God is going to make sure the same grace comes upon you. I've seen so many graces come upon my life just because I valued and I respected and I honored the grace in the life of other people. It may take a while, it may take some time, but trust me, God is going to repay you back, because what you sow is what you're going to reap. So, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. I remember during my wedding, my wife's sister was busy helping out, even though she's the elder sister, she was busy helping out, moving here and there, just making sure everything was good. And my heart was praying for her. Everybody was blessing. I said, wow, you are doing this for your younger sister, you will marry her. Everybody was just blessing her. Everybody was happy with her. See, when your friends are getting married, don't be the last person to get there. Be the first person. Be the one who is serving. Be the one who is trying to help out. Because when you rejoice with others, God will make sure your own comes quickly. That is one way to attract it to your life. If somebody is doing good, make sure you attract the same thing by being a blessing to that person. The person is already blessed in what you are looking for. It's not the time for you to get angry. It's the time for you to be a blessing. It's the time for you to serve. It's the time for you to make sure you make that thing a good success. So we've talked about wedding. We've talked about you being a blessing to those who are also doing the same thing. Another way is for you to attract a good marriage yourself is by getting in the proximity of those who have good marriages already. One of the things that happened to me early enough was that I stayed with one of my elder brothers who was born again before he got married. His wife was also born again. So I saw a very perfect example of a good marriage. I saw how my elder brother, who was probably like 10 years older than me, I saw how we get to the kitchen, cook for the house. And I'm like, what's happening here? Where I grew up from, I'm a proper Ekiti man. Where I grew up from, men don't cook for their wives. I mean, it could even be seen that something is wrong with you. I mean, that's more like a culture across Nigeria. It could be seen like something is wrong with you. But I saw my brother who already broke that barrier. He said, no, marriage means that I love my wife. I can help her if it means me getting to the kitchen and cooking. In fact, he used to cook every morning and I was surprised. So I saw it firsthand how somebody can have a good marriage, a good example. It was a good example to me on how to love my wife. So it was easier for me to start showing love for my wife practically. So if you see anybody having a good marriage around you, what you should do is get into proximity. Be close, especially older people. Be close to them. Learn from them. Ask questions from them. That, okay, mommy, how do you undo this kind of thing? How is it easy for you to show a lot of respect for your husband? You know, it can be a difficult thing for a woman to respect her husband. And it can be very difficult for a man to love his wife. So if a man, you want to ask, how do you love your wife even when she does this kind of thing? Maybe you saw another family who did, maybe the wife did something wrong and the man reacted somehow. And you know, as a child of God, you're not supposed to react in that way. Now you have the example of a child of God. You can ask them questions. Once you begin to ask the right questions, it is easier for you to have the right marriage because you have the right information now. So we talked about a market, a place. There's a place for you to get. So we've talked about you being in the proximity of those who already have good marriages, those who are just getting into marriage. Being there can just attract good things to yourself. Now, last week we talked about you being nice to everybody, being good to everybody. You know what that's going to do? That makes people see you. Number one, it makes you become attractive to the right person, whether the man or the woman. You become attractive to them. Why? Because you are being nice to everybody. Not just to them because you want them. You know, for men, you become nice to a woman that you like. But no, God wants you to be good to everyone. And while you are being good to everyone, the right person can see you. The same thing with a woman. In the story we are reading, Proverbs 24, if you have not read it before, go and read it. You will see what Rebecca did. Rebecca treated this man, even though she had no intention, she had no idea what the man came to do, she fed how many camels? Do you know how many camels that woman fed? A camel will drink, I think, 20 liters of water. Now, if you're giving 20 liters of water to a camel and the man came with several camels, I think she even washed their feet. That's humility to the core. She did that without expecting anything. She was just honoring people she saw at the well. She didn't even know that she was entering destiny by that. So, if you are nice to everybody, let me tell you what will happen. apart from being attracted or becoming attractive to the person who God wants to give you, this is another thing that is going to happen. God will make sure other people see you and introduce you to the right person. In fact, what I love most is when you are introduced to the right person, or when the right person is introduced to you. You know what's happening? The person introducing you has seen both of you, has seen your character. For example, if you're a man and somebody says, and I know one sister, we are together in the place of work. Now, somebody is telling you about somebody in a place of work or in his place of work, has already seen that person. Let me use the term. He has seen that person finish. He has seen everything about her, how she reacted to clients, how she reacted to normal people around her. You know, that person introducing her to you has seen everything about her. The same thing with a man. He has seen everything about him and he cares for you. So if he's introducing you to that person, and the person introducing you is a good person, a child of God who fears God, I mean, your work is very simple. All you need to do is just to pray if God wants you to go ahead. Because I'm sure that most likely that person, you won't even have issue because the person has already seen the character for you. You are not emotionally involved. The person has seen the character and has just helped you out. So one way is when you are good, when you are serving God fervently, others begin to introduce the right person to you, especially if you are of age. So we must understand that there is a market. There is a place where you must meet. You know, go for recreation. Don't just stay indoors. You know, there is a temptation for people who are of age that when you begin to get to a certain age, you begin to live in denial that you want a good wife or you want a good husband, especially women. Apologies, but this happens mostly to women. You know, even if they go for marriage and relationship program, you will see the woman, she may go and sit even where other people are married are sitting. She will just sit as if she's not interested. Now, you must break that temptation. For those listening now and those who will listen again, break that temptation. Don't live in denial. Don't tell yourself lies that you don't want a good marriage. You want it. So, am I saying you should make yourself cheap? No. But dress like somebody who is not married yet. Don't start dressing like an old woman that people begin to think she's married. Don't even make only married women your friends, because people are going to assume you are married. I know of somebody that probably for years they were together in the same place, and he always thought she was married until she prayed specially. She didn't even know this guy was looking at her. She prayed. You know, I talked about the spiritual aspect before, that when you settle everything spiritually, then physically everything can work well. After she engaged in those dangerous prayers, there's a time for you to engage in prayers. Most of us who are getting married late is because you are not angry yet. Sometimes because you are not angry yet. If you decide that, see, I'm angry, 3 days of prayer and fasting, settle yourself. Pray and say, Father, I'm getting settled today. No more delay. If you pray 3 days, when you come out, you become attractive to people. When you engage in kingdom advancement, we've talked about that before, you begin to serve God. You are winning souls for Christ. Let me tell you what that one does. It makes you so attractive. There's somebody I know of that we told her about. See, she was getting delayed and delayed in marriage. He said, see, start praying for the kingdom of God. Start seeking the things of the kingdom of God. Start praying for your church. Start going out on evangelism. She went out one day and she said, see, I don't know what happened. Everybody just started saying, I'm beautiful today. The same people who have been seeing that before started saying, wow, you look beautiful. You look attractive. Because she started doing the things of the kingdom of God. When you begin to serve God, God polishes you and makes sure you're attractive. He begins to remove all the unnecessary things from your life. So we understand that there's a market, there's a place. Dress like somebody who wants the job, in quotes. You know, as a man, you may not have all the clothes in the world, but the little you have, make sure they are pressed. Make sure they are attractive. They are good enough. As a woman, dress like somebody who is not married. Don't dress like a married person. It may look funny, but it's the truth. Dress like who you are. Dress nice. Dress attractive, not provocatively. Attractive. Enough for people to say, wow, that woman looks good. We've all said to that. So you must know that there's a dressing for it. There's an attitude for it. So we talked about that, the fact that there's a spiritual quest. You can settle all delays. You can settle all, you know, wrong people can just be coming around. You can settle that with prayers, with a spiritual aspect. Then we talked about the market. For those joining late, we say that going for weddings is one of the easiest ways to be found and to find. Because if you are a good person, you are a child of God, and your friend is getting married, he is also a child of God, there's a tendency that many children of God will be in that place. Many people want to get married will be in that place. So it's easier for you to be found and to find in a wedding. Then lastly today, I want to say that one of the things that man experienced that particular day was that he had speed. He asked for speed. God, grant me speed. Grant me speed today. And what did he have? Speed. The first person that came, there was no confusion, there was nothing. The first person that came, he had speed. And he got to their house. And he even refused, we're going to talk about that probably next week, he refused to be distracted. When God gives you speed, don't be distracted. Don't let anything distract you. When he got to the house, they first told him, they said, oh, they put food in his presence, eat. There's a tendency that he will finish eating and get distracted. He said, no, I don't want to eat anything. I will deliver my message first. Don't be distracted. What do I mean by don't be distracted? There are some women who will be distractions of themselves. And there are some men who will allow distractions. What do I mean? If you have told somebody clearly that what I want is marriage, and you have gone on several dates for a while, for 2 months, for whatever, and the person is still saying, let's just be friends, you know, I don't want to take anything serious now, let's just be friends. Okay, we have been friends for 6 months. What kind of friendship are you talking about now? Don't let yourself be delayed. There is speed for the children of God. Don't allow delays. Anybody who has questions about this, you can ask, but don't allow delays. Don't let anybody delay you for any reason. Men, don't let any woman delay you. After you have told the person your intention, 1 month, 2 months, I mean, it doesn't take, God is not dumb, no. God talks straight. Anybody wants to hear God should hear God within a few weeks and know what she wants. The same thing, women, don't let any man hang around your life without any clear intention. Don't allow it for any reason. You know what? The guy is not serious. He doesn't know where he's going. And he's now also preventing others from coming to you. So a man comes around you 2 weeks, 1 month. Ask him, Oga, you've been coming around me. You've taken me out on dates. What do you want? Why are you doing all this? Let me know. The person says, oh, I just like you. You're nice. Says, oh, you just like me. Okay. Next time he asks you on dates, tell him you're busy. Because it's just spoiling business, so to say. So don't allow people to waste your time. It is not being cheap. It is knowing what to do. It is being straightforward. What do you want from me? If he doesn't want anything, let him disappear. And also to men, if you have asked a woman out, you have told him clearly what you want, and the person is still saying she doesn't know what she wants, she's delaying and all that. I mean, you are free. Ask God what the next thing should be. It is time to go back to God. God, what are you saying? Should I go ahead? There was a time in my own relationship that it was getting delayed kind of. And I was angry. It was me. I don't want to waste time. So, and I told God. God said, relax. I asked for counsel. My pastor's wife then just said, Femi, relax. You're just trying to test your patience. So sometimes patience is also tested. So I think that's where we are going to end it today. Next week, we are going to talk about the attitude. We're going to talk about the approval. Then the qualities which you should look out for. We're going to talk about how opposites attract, but likes marry. We're going to talk about that. We know we always talk about opposites attract each other, but opposites attract in some aspects. Likes attract in some aspects. When it comes to values, you should marry somebody with the same values with you. But when it comes to natural inclinations, your natural dispositions to things, like, for example, somebody is an introvert, somebody is an extrovert, yes, opposites may attract in that. But when it comes to values, you should have the same values. Somebody wants to honor God, the other person must be ready to honor God. Apart from that, you don't have a place of meeting. So that's where we're going to end it today. So it's time to address the question. We're going to start with the question we already have today. Okay, so number one, God told me to treat every sister like my sister. So the question is, how did I handle ladies you treat nicely and have affection for you? Okay, so now that's going to happen. When you are nice to everybody as a man, the first thing is for you to set boundaries. If you as a man, how do you treat your normal fellow brothers? Normal show of kindness. Will you call your brother friend 3 times a day? No. Will you call your normal brother friend trying to tell him I love you and all that? No, you're not going to say that. So treat them with brotherly love. I mean, normal care of love. And set boundaries. If God has not told you this is your wife, then don't act as if that is your wife. What do I mean? Now, a sister did not come to church. and maybe you are in the same unit in church or you are in the same service unit, what do? You can call and say, oh, we didn't see you in church today. Just your normal tone. Don't use your romantic voice. Normal tone. Oh, we didn't see you in church today. How are you doing? Oh, Paul is fine. Simple. That's it. You don't now call 2 times a day. Somebody is sick in the hospital. You're now calling 5 times a day. You're already sending a message. So that's it. Normal care. Normal love without ulterior motive. So how did you create boundaries? Just what I said. Don't, if you're in a relationship with somebody, me and my wife were cutting. We probably talked, I don't know how many times in a day. And I even had a special arrangement with Glow then that we could talk forever without us being charged. We had this plan that we are talking like that. Of course, you only decide to talk like that with somebody you're already in relationship with. So for you to set boundaries, don't call more than you are supposed to call. Don't call more than required. Don't send a message you don't mean. Don't start saying, I love you, when you don't mean I love you. When you don't want that romantic relationship involved between two of you. Normal care. Normal, someone did not come to church, you cared for them. We had a program in church, love feast for those who have love feast. They are buying gifts for everybody. Buying gifts for everybody. Don't buy gifts for her alone. So that's how to set boundaries. Don't go and visit unusually. I mean, because when you start visiting, when you start calling over and over again, you are sending a message. So that is one way to do it. How did you solve people misunderstanding your care for them, both external and with the person? Now, it has happened to me several times. You know, I learned how to set boundaries when I was in, I think right from when I was in, is it secondary school or so? Now, naturally me, you know, I used to be somebody who cared for people. Now, I noticed that when I start showing care for people, they start getting so close to me, attracted to me, and, you know, misinterpreting it for something else. So later, in fact, there was a time I stopped showing care for ladies totally. I said, until I get married, I'm not showing any special care again. That was extreme anyway. So how I did that was that, number one, I started pulling back. I started asking myself questions. What extra things did I do for this person to portray a message I wasn't trying to send? And this happened to me so much, especially, I think there was a time in my life that I had to stay in a house with a lot of ladies. And because of my natural show of care for people, this person was getting attracted and all that. So I had to start pulling back. Normal, talk to them when I talk to everybody. I didn't talk to them any extra time and all that. So when you pull back, distance is a killer of love. We need to know that, especially for those who are married, we can take note of that. The moment there's a distance between you and the person you want to get married to, love is beginning to die. That's romantic love is beginning to die. So create distance between you and that person. And for anybody who is mature, you know that, okay, that distance is sending a signal. Then number four, at this time, there are some sacrifices you can make for your spouse now. Then, of course not. You can't make sacrifices for everybody. Now, the sacrifice I will make for my wife, I won't make it for any other sister, even then. For example, now, my wife can interrupt my prayer life now. Other sister will not interrupt my prayer life. Because if I want to pray and my wife wants something else, she has a right to demand that time. Of course, she understands, but she has a right to demand that time. According to what the Bible even said. He said, if two of you want to pray and fast, you must agree. That means there's a consent between two of you to stay with each other, especially for sex, example. So that one, there's an agreement. But the other person, there is no attachment, there is nothing. So you don't go the extra mile. Just go the normal mile. That's what I would say. Go the normal mile. Don't do it because you want that attention. Normal care. Normal, hello, how are you doing? Once a week, 2 times a week, it's okay for anybody. Even once a week, it's okay. Except you have a different attachment. Then there are also personal relational issues you cannot share with just anyone. Are you able to share them with those children? Of course not. So I would say that when there are personal or relational issues, don't share it. Now, let me talk about this from the ladies' angle. The moment you start sharing your issues with a man, you are already sending a signal. That's it. I'm talking from a man's perspective. When you are open to a man, not an elderly man, not somebody you see as a mentor or pastor or somebody, when you share personal issues, there will be attachment. Trust me. especially if the man cares, the man will begin to now call you and say, well, how is this thing going and all that. Of course, things can start from there. But what I'm saying is, there are things that you can keep. For example, if something's happened to you, your private partner, you can't discuss it with a brother, in quotes. Of course, you can't. That's the extreme. So there are things you cannot discuss, and there are things you can discuss. So I don't know if I answered your question. Were your questions answered? They were like jam question. Hello?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, I said your questions were so many. I felt like writing jam.
Yes. Question answered, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Don't mind me. You know, after the message, I found that so the questions that came to my mind while I was pondering on the message.
Okay, all right. Okay, I think our time is fast spent. If you have any other question, I already dropped a link there. You can drop your question so that we can teach it next week. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's thank God for today. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence again today. Thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet. We return the glory to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that even as we have invested some time in learning about how to have good marriage and how to enter into it, I pray, Lord, that your grace will be available for every one of us. The Lord, at the end of the day, we have testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week, and next week is going to be a wonderful time. Make sure you invite others. Don't be a partaker of this alone, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week, and be blessed.
TheGoodSuccess.com